Psalm chapter number 50, when you found your place, would you say amen and stand with me? Psalm 50, if you remember, we preached out of this text last week. Say amen if you remember. Bunch of liars. Psalm chapter number 50, verse number 16. Somebody didn't say amen, they were truthful. Psalm 50 and verse number 16, we preached out of the first half of the chapter last week. And to be honest, I wasn't sure if I would preach the second half, but I believe that's where the Lord has led us. And so we'll preach verse 16. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Notice that. Let me read it again. What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentedst with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God. Are you listening? Lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. I want to preach this morning on pitfalls in the pulpit. Pitfalls in the pulpit. You can be seated. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach your word. Lord, this text is very serious, as all scripture is, but what a warning. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd please give us ears to hear, God. Lord, I pray you'd move by your spirit, not by power nor by might, but by thy spirit. Lord, I pray, God, that you would move upon your people. Meet us where we are. Take us where we ought to be. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on this thought, pitfalls in the pulpit. Pitfalls in the pulpit. I'll be honest with you, I feel really whenever I was studying this, the Lord gave me some thoughts and I wrote them down. Mainly, the thoughts that he gave me that I had concerned mainly preachers. And I understand I'm one of the only ones in here besides Brother Ronnie, Brother Marcus. And so I felt that maybe this wasn't something to preach to the congregation, but I believe that the Lord has given it and he wants us to preach it. I believe there is much application to be made, not only to those that are preachers, but to all Christians. You and I both know there is a specific call into the ministry of God as a preacher, but you know there is also a call to all Christians to be preachers on a personal level and to declare the statutes of God. So I ask you and I plead with you and I beseech you, I will read some things that will seem to be based completely to preachers, but I want you to take it and preach it to yourself, and I promise you, if you will make the application will be there. Is that fair enough? Amen. Let's practice it, folks. Help me. Amen. A-M-E-N. Amen. It helps me to preach. Helps me know you're not dead. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 16. If you remember from last week, there are three categories, three parts of this psalm. In verse number 1 through 7, we looked last week at God's coming judgment announced. He said in verse 1 and 2, the mighty God, even the Lord hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. God hath spoken, God hath shown us his word, and God shall come again, and he shall judge the hearts and minds of all men, and especially the church. In 1 Peter, he said, judgment will begin at the house of God. In verses number 1 through 7, God's coming judgment is announced. And in verse 8 through 15, we find that he addresses, number 1, carnal practicers of religion. In verse 8 through 15, he addresses those that practice religion, those that have taken a covenant with God, those that are saved, and yet they are carnal and worldly and fleshly in their practice of religion. Friend, we live in a day where religion is a bad word. Friend, I'll have you know I'm not afraid of religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me the religion that is found in the Word of God. Friend, I'm not for rituals, but I am for religion. But people have such a bad taste in their mouth about that word religion because of all the carnal practicers of that religion. Amen. Can go there. Carnal practicers. There are pitfalls in the pew. We saw that last week. And then in verse 16 through 23, he addresses not only carnal practicers of religion, but carnal preachers of religion. Not only those that take part in it, but those especially that proclaim the word of God. There is a special judgment and a special note taken here to those that will proclaim the word of God. There are pitfalls in the pew, and there are pitfalls in the pulpit. Israel, once again, he's not speaking at this time to the church, but to Israel. They were God's people. We saw last week that we are also God's people by the blood, and everything that applied to them here applies to us now. In those days, they had limited their religion down to temporal, physical things, and they had severed it from the spiritual things of religion. And we know that that is a danger that we face today, to limit our Christianity to physical things and to sever it from the spiritual things of God's Word. And friend, that was a pitfall that applied to us. Friend, there were also prophets in that day to Israel. And there were many pitfalls for them to fall into. And truth be told, those same pitfalls lie before every preacher of the Word of God. Anybody who will proclaim the Word of God, these pitfalls lie in front of us. Friend, there were some preachers in those days, some prophets to the nation of Israel, that had fallen in such terrible pitfalls that God told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 34, I am against the shepherds because they feed not the flock, because my sheep are scattered and they go not after them. Listen, it came to such a place in Israel that God said he was against the preachers. And it, I believe, has come to such a place today that God would say for most of the preachers and most of the proclaimers, so-called, of his word, he would say, I am against them. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to be against me. Ministry's hard enough, much less when the God of the universe is against you. Friend, we must make sure we are not falling into these pitfalls. I want to give you three today, and we'll be done. You write this down. In verse 16, 17, and 18, the greatest pitfall of a preacher is the danger of preaching Christ with your lips while reproaching him with your life. This includes me. This includes every preacher. It goes beyond that. It includes every Sunday school teacher who stands in these rooms and teaches their kids or teaches the women or teaches the men or teaches the seniors or teaches the couples. Friend, all of these proclaim and expound the Word of God. It goes past that to our Awana teachers that teach those kids night after night on Wednesday nights. It goes past that to the parents that teach your kids, or at least you ought to teach your kids about the Word of God. There is a danger in preaching Christ with your lips while reproaching him with your life. That is the greatest pitfall of anybody who will proclaim. There is a great danger in preaching piety while practicing iniquity. It is both absurd and abhorred by God for wicked and ungodly men to declare the statutes of God and take his covenant in their mouth. But sadly, it is both possible and it is common for those who preach obedience to God's law to live in disobedience of it. That's a sad truth. It is possible and common for those who take God's covenant in their mouth, and yet they continue a covenant with sin in their heart. Friend, those that proclaim God's word but do not live it, they take to themselves an honor that they have no title to. There is a great danger in calling others to an obedience that you yourself do not have. Look in verse 16. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? You say, how do you know he's addressing preachers? He addresses those that are declaring his statutes, his word. Who else would that be? What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? There is a great pitfall in preaching Christ with your lips while reproaching him with your life. There is a great pitfall in calling others to an obedience that you yourself do not have. There is a great pitfall in giving out God's instruction to others while refusing to receive it yourselves. Are you listening? They love, preachers in this category love to give out God's instruction to others, but they hate to receive it themselves. They cast God's word forward in the pulpit, and when they get down, they cast it behind them in their life. God hates that. I'm going to read to you Romans chapter number 2 and verse 17. It applies to Israel in this way, but it applies to anybody that would teach and proclaim the word of God, and that ought to be all Christians. He said in Romans 2:17, behold, thou art called a Jew. We could apply that. Behold, thou art called a Christian, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. I am God's man. I am a Christian. Thou makest thy boast in God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Maybe you say, I'm a Christian. My boast is in God. I am saved. I know his will. I approve his will. I'm confident in it. It's excellent. I'm not only approving of his will, but I have been instructed. I know the Bible. Verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth and the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? We want to proclaim his word, and we don't want to live it. Hey, that's just the truth, ain't it? Hey, that's what Baptists have become known for. We judge everybody else, talk about their sin. We don't deal with ours. That's a stereotype for a reason. Amen. Friend, if we're going to teach others, if we're going to tell others, we must tell ourselves. We must preach it to ourselves. We must hold ourselves to every standard that we would hold our church to, and we would hold our fellow members to, and we would hold our children to. God, help us to preach to ourselves. Look in verse number 18 of Psalm 50. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. I'm going to take a time out and say, woe unto the Christian that cannot keep the affairs of his work life in order, that will lie on the job, will cheat people out of money, will follow filthy lucre and then say that they have a testimony. It happens every day among all of us. There is a danger in preaching Christ with your lips while we're approaching him with your life. There is a danger in calling others to an obedience that you yourself do not have. There is a danger in giving out God's instructions but not receiving it yourselves. And there is a danger in not standing for things in your personal life that you would stand for in the pulpit. You say, I don't stand in the pulpit. You know what I mean. And this is something I wrote for preachers. I'll give it to you. I believe that we can apply it. There is, for some reason, the temptation for a preacher to preach upon things that he himself is failing to do or not to do. The backslid preacher does this with a false hope that his holy public sermon will make up for his rotten private sin. The truth is that his preaching will not in the least bit clear his blood guiltiness before God, but it will make him doubly responsible for it. Brethren, make sure that this truth is engraved upon your heart. Preaching upon something is not the same as doing it. And talking about something is not the same as doing it. And I say this to preachers. If we will tell our congregations that he that winneth souls is wise, then we ourselves must be the most earnest of soul winners. How can we teach our people the value and necessity of prayer if we have a lazy and lifeless prayer life, and we never rise early, and we never stay up late, and we never neglect the things of our day to seek God in prayer? How can we tell others to pray? And how can you tell your kids to seek God when you don't? Forget it. Charles Spurgeon said, be that which you persuade others to be. No preacher has ever preached a sermon to others well unless he first preaches it well to himself. Preach to yourself today. There is the pitfall, number one, of calling others to an obedience you do not have. But then look in verse 19. There is the danger in speaking guile and gossip and grumbling from the same mouth that God has called to the gospel. For the preacher especially, God has called preachers to be the voice of his word. And you'll find that the devil's greatest strategy in ruining a preacher is by filling his mouth up with trash. Because when your mouth is so full of trash, God will not use it to preach the clear gospel of Christ. This is a danger not only for the preacher, but for all Christians. Many ministers, sadly, and I have seen myself, and no doubt I won't be ashamed to say, I am ashamed to say, I no doubt have been guilty. I no doubt. We all have. But listen, many ministers deride and backbite those whom they ought to respect and be kind to the most. Matthew Henry said, those that do ill themselves commonly delight in speaking ill of others. The mouth God is called to proclaim his good tidings may become so stopped up by filthy talk that it is rendered useless in proclaiming the righteous word of God. God will not use an unsanctified mouth as his mouthpiece. He won't do it. The gun of the preacher is his voice. His ammo is the word of God. His trigger is the spirit of God. And if the devil can take the gun and fill it with mud and mire, he could possibly get it to misfire. How's your gun this morning? Filled with mud? Filled with mire? There is a danger in speaking guile, gossip, and grumbling from the same mouth God has called to the gospel. Thou, look, verse 19, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Does this sound like Baptist Thou slanderest thine own mother's son, thy brother, your brother in Christ. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Number one, there is the danger of calling others to an obedience that you do not have. There is a danger in speaking guile, gossip, and grumbling from the mouth. God is called to the gospel alone. And lastly, there is a danger in entering the pulpit thinking that God has somehow forgotten or overlooked your unconfessed, unforsaken sin. Look in verse 21. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. This is God speaking. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. He said, here you are, living in the pitfalls of the pulpit. You're living a life of hypocrisy. You're calling others to an obedience you don't have. You're declaring my word publicly, and you're sinning habitually against me, unforsaken, and you think you've gotten to a place where you think you can get by with it. You think that I'm one as you are, that I'm just supposed to understand, that I'm just supposed to overlook that. And he said, I am not as you are. In other words, he's saying, you think that I'm weak and forgetful as you are, but God is not forgetful. Friend, God remembers. There is a danger in coming to church. There is a danger in proclaiming your faith. There's a danger in doing this without forsaking, confessing your sin, being sorry for it. You hide it, and you think God's going to overlook it? He will chastise. Friend, there is such a danger in doing so. I'm going to read you another quote. I think I've read it when I preached before, no doubt here, but I'll read it again. Clarence McCartney, a preacher, he said this, when the preacher mounts the pulpit stairs, then every self-denial he has made, every Christian forbearance he has shown, every resistance to sin and temptation will come back to strengthen his arm and give conviction to his voice. And likewise, every evasion of duty, every indulgence of self, every compromise with evil, every unworthy thought, word, and deed will also be there at the pulpit to take the light from his eye, the power from his blow, the ring from his voice, and the joy from his heart. Friends, some of you have come in here today. You don't have one bit of light in your eyes. You don't have any joy in your heart. You don't have any ring in your voice. You don't have any conviction in your worship. It's fake, and you know it because your life is riddled with hypocrisy and sin that you pet and you refuse to forsake, and your life spiritually is in ruins and shambles. And you sit here in your pride, and you won't do anything about it. Somebody say amen. Somebody agree. I know it's not a glory message. This hurts me to preach it. But we must say amen, so shall it be. So it is. Even so, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. Look there in verse 22. There are three pitfalls I've given you. They all really come down to one. Hypocrisy. That's what it all is. That's what this whole chapter boils down to, hypocrisy. There is a great warning to those that forget God. I'll read you one more quote. Look at verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God. Consider this, ye that forget God. Matthew Henry once said this, forgetfulness of God is at the bottom of all the wickedness of the wicked. Those that know God and yet do not obey Him do certainly forget Him. That lies at the bottom of all of our hypocrisy. We forget that God is who He says He is. He said, consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. There is a great warning against the hypocrite, and that is to be torn in pieces. You say, does that mean physically? Friend, I wouldn't put it past God. I remember two hypocrites that came into church in the book of Acts, and God killed them there. Thank God that He hasn't done that in these times as He did then, because every one of us would be dead at one point or another. But don't you put it past God. One man said, somebody could write a book on all the people in the Bible God killed. It wouldn't be a great seller, but it would be a big book. I'm not saying that God's going to do that. Here's what I am saying. God will tear apart a ministry filled with hypocrisy. There are churches, I believe, that have been undone by the doing of God because of the hypocrisy of the church. And I don't want our church to be one of them. And I don't want your family to be one of them, torn apart by sin. I don't want our lives and our testimonies to be torn apart in that way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It did not mean you can lose your salvation, but he said, I didn't want God, in other words, to take my ministry and tear it apart and put me on a shelf. I want to keep my body in subjection and my desires, and I want to serve God with everything I have, without hypocrisy, that my ministry, my testimony, my life would count for something for God. Don't you want your life to count? Aren't you sick of your sin? If I could do one thing in this sermon, if I could do one thing, if I had the power to do so, I would make you utterly sick of your sin. If I could, but I can't. But I wish I could. Then look in verse 23. There is the deliverance. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. He that ordereth his conduct, his deeds, his word, his life, his conversation. To he that ordereth it aright will I show the salvation of God. You say you work your way to heaven? No, that's not what he's meaning. We could take you verse by verse through the Bible and show you by grace are you saved through faith. But what he's saying, I believe, applies in this way. If our church will get rid of our hypocrisy, then God will show his salvation and his mercy to us, because he does not have to. And if our preachers would get rid of their hypocrisy and be genuine, then God would save our ministries. And if our families would do the same, and our moms and our dads and our husbands and our wives and our children and our Sunday school teachers and our Awana teachers, we would do that, God would show salvation to our ministry. Maybe he'd give us souls for our labor. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The musicians are making their way forward.